different people talk about, you know, what the it's a reference to water and this and that. But I believe it's clear that when you're hot, you're on fire for the Lord. When you're cold, that's because your fire is out. You're cold. But God can deal with you. It's the lukewarm that you've probably heard some sermons or read the sermon that became a booklet put out by John R. Rice. I've handed out many times. It's titled Religious But Lost. You ever heard that? Religious but lost. That's the lukewarm people. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're religious, lukewarm, and lost. And God, it makes God want to spew. That's another word for vomit. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Not something I think anybody ever wants God to say about them. No. I don't ever want to hear God say that about me. But look at verse 17, read that. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'm just stop right there. That's all you need to know right there. You can read the rest of it on your own. That's a Laodicean, lukewarm, worldly. They're fine. They have need of nothing. Yeah, like we get all the time in the world, you can try to hand them gospel trip. I'm good. Only you really know if that describes you. I think everybody here and most of the people that I'm in contact online, I have no reason to believe they're fakes. I believe they're living with the Lord. But you could fool me. I've been fooled before. You can't fool God. And that's who you ought to be concerned with. So back to James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Again, something you cannot do without repentance. You have to have a heart of repentance to humble yourself. The cure is humility, which requires repentance. A lot of people, even if they get repentance right when it comes to the gospel and salvation, they think it's over. And no, it just began. It has just begun. Your repentance, when you get saved, you start at salvation by saying, I can't save myself. All this religion, all this sin, all my opinions, all my thoughts are garbage. I'm dumping them and turning empty-handed toward the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I receive your word. I receive the gospel. Save me. And he saves you. You empty-handed. And then for the rest of your life is a purification process in your heart and your mind. And it'll never end because, sadly, a lot of people, most people I know, I can speak for myself, someone's like, you make 2 steps forward, but there's always that 1 step back. And then there's areas of your life that go for a while, and God deals with this area, but then all of a sudden you wake up and there's another area you need to deal with. That's the rest of your life. God, for example, is omniscient. You'll never know everything. I've met many who think they do and are unteachable. But you'll never learn everything. So you're always having to learn. Well, the same thing's true with repentance. I have not arrived. We will have not arrived until what? We arrive. When you arrive in heaven, that's when you will have arrived with the Lord when it comes to your growth. And sometimes God knocks us down in order to lift us up. Amen?
Amen.
Two of you have been knocked down. Anybody else? Do I see that hand? Yeah. I love this quote from J. Vernon McGee on this passage. He said, I observed a lifeguard once as he hit a drowning fellow with his fist and knocked him out. The lifeguard explained that the drowning man was struggling and that he could not help him until he gave up.
Wow, that's great.
I think sometimes God gives us the fist so that we just give up and let him take over.
Awesome.
Amen. I deal with people on this issue, that issue, and I'm telling you, it rarely is something I've seen. It's usually they've come to me and they've told me. They've told me about this issue and they come to me for counsel. They hardly ever listen. 30 years in ministry, hardly ever listen to anything I say. That's why preachers quit and give up. I'm just getting you a little secret here. You see preachers quitting and giving up? I'll tell you why. I've talked to some of them that gave up. Because after 30 years or however many years they were in the ministry, people even come to them and say, this is my situation. What should I do? Well, the Bible says, and according to the Word of God, this. They don't listen. And they finally, and usually there's other contributing factors, but that's a big part of it. They just get tired of it. And you know why I haven't given up? And if you got your hopes up I'm going to, you better give up. Because it ain't about you. I'm not here because of you.
Amen.
I love you guys, but I'm not here because of you. I'm here because of Him.
Amen.
If He told me to go preach out in the streets of, or tell me go to Short North, if I really believed that God's ministry was me to go stand in Short North and preach and get spit on and people throw things at me and that sort of thing, I'd do that. That's what it's all about. It's about doing what God's called you to do, being faithful to the Lord. And if you hear me preaching, and because there's obviously most of you, what you hear me preach about, if you're not right with the Lord and you need to repent and change, I don't know that. But God does. And that's who you'll have to take it up with one of these days. But like J. Vernon McGee says, He might give you the fist right now. What's sad is that because a lot of people have not grown spiritually, then when God gives them a fist, smacks them real good, they get mad at Him, turn on Him, quit. See it all the time. Little reality check. God loves you enough not to let you remain unrepentant and living in sin.
Amen.
Do you know anybody that claims to be a Christian, has been living in sin for years? One of two things. One is they're not really a Christian. God doesn't deal with people like His children if they're not His children. If you know somebody's been living in sin for years and years and doesn't look like God's doing anything with them, that's number one possibility. Those people are in more danger than anybody. But number two, there might be a lot of things going on you don't know anything about. God might be knocking them down and in dealing with them in ways that you and I don't see. So don't give up. Keep talking to Him. Keep praying for them. Now James illustrates what repentance and humility looks like in verse 11. Look there, it starts by saying, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." I'm glad I don't see this in our little church family, but I've seen it. And I've heard the stories about it through the years. If you don't preach hard on the truths of Scripture, including repentance, if I don't look at you and say, you need to be aware, God knows, even if I don't. And if you're going around talking, speaking evil of your brothers and sisters in Christ, God hates that. Doug, you were quoting it. I think Sunday.
Yeah.
What's God hate?
Sow in discord, amongst brothers.
Yeah, Proverbs 6, right?
Proverbs 6.
God hates that. He's going to deal with it. And I've seen several. We have had people do that here in the past. And they're out of, completely on the shelf, not serving God and miserable. And that's what will happen. If you refuse to get right with God and let Him work on your heart, you'll be miserable. And this is, by the way, not referring to factual statements or confronting a brother with a very real sin. When you speak evil one of another, that's not saying, you know, if I'm in a store and I hear you over there blaspheming, and I walk over and try to, oh, hey, man, you're being a real bad witness right now, that mouth of yours, you know. And you don't hear me. The Bible says I'm supposed to then go with another leader here, one of the elder men at the church, and go with them and talk to you And then if you won't hear us, we go before the church and say, you know, we've had to ask so-and-so not to join us for meetings until they repent. That's not speaking evil, but that's what you'll be accused of when you do it. But that's not what it's talking about. The rest of verse 11 makes it clear. Look at verse 11. The rest of it says, after speak not evil one of another, brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Why? Because the law says you're not supposed to speak evil, not to bear false witness. See? That's when it's evil. How many have been taught that if I ever walk up to somebody and say, Dan's not here right now, we'll pick on him. I say, you know, if I'm walking up and I'm saying, hey, Dan, man, anything something else? Is this car, he had a problem with his car. Did he get that fixed? Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, yeah, well, and he went to a wedding or something. Yeah. And then somebody hears that and they go and say, Dan, you should have heard the preacher gossiping about you Sunday. Yeah. That's not gossip. Gossip is slanderous or false information given for the purpose of trying to tear the man's reputation down. That's gossip. But all over the country, Christians think they're sinning because if you preach against gossip and you don't define it correctly, you get a lot more people to come up to the altar. So a lot of churches, for the sake of the altar call, the preacher gets up there and just wails on gossip, knowing that a lot of people don't even know what he means. And he'll say stuff like, talking about so-and-so and she's not around, blah, 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 blah. And then by the end of it, you're like, well, I've talked about a lot of people when they're not around. I must be bad. I need to go forward. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah, that's just a guilt trip.
Yeah, guilt trip. But if you are saying things about somebody that you know are not true, or you're saying them in a way that they're out of context, you're not telling the whole story, and you know that this is going to hurt their reputation and testimony, that's gossip. That's speaking evil of a brother. See? Do you? Amen? You understand?
Amen.
To speak evil is to bear false witness, bottom line. To knowingly violate the law is to judge it unworthy of respect. How many remember Exodus 20:16? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Amen? There you go. To disrespect God's law is the opposite of humility and repentance. Because you're basically saying you don't respect God if you don't respect his law. It's the ultimate superiority trip. God makes law. That's why he says in verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Then the word judge here is talking about in the context, again, of judging someone unrighteously, judging them unfairly, judging them with false information. And you don't make up your own in defiance of his, by the way. That's another problem people have, is that they just see things a little different than God does. Like the gossip thing. You know, accusing me of gossiping because I've asked about Dan. You know, yeah, be ashamed of yourself. All right, I don't know why that. There you are. I want to ask you to look a verse up. Please listen and get it the first time, otherwise it becomes a circus. Jenny Miller, 1 Timothy 1:8. Jenny Allball, Philippians 3:9. Kim, Romans 2:24. Jill, Galatians 5:3-4. Johnny, Galatians 3:23-24. Janie,
yeah.
Galatians 2:16. And Mary, Ephesians 2:8-9. I just went back and forth. I'll get to the back of the room next time. Number one, the correct response is to face the law, not pervert it. Did you get that? The correct response is to face the law, not pervert it. 1 Timothy 1:8.
But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully.
The law serves a purpose. We don't need to change it, pervert it, or anything of the like. Number two, righteousness cannot be received by keeping the law.
And be found in him, not having my
my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
People think that the more they keep the law and keep God's commandments, that makes them more holy. That's not how it works. You are more holy because you allow God to take control of your life. You start, we'll see in a moment, but you start with being saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit with the Holy Bible produces a holiness in you, and therefore you do keep God's commandments. You're not sinless, but you sin less because of the holiness of God in you. You don't become more holy by doing. You're doing because you've become more holy by God's work in your life. Number three, self-righteousness leads to hypocrisy. Kim, Romans 2, 22 to 24.
Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? That thou abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that maketh thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dost honor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written.
That's why you don't hear me get up here week after week picking on all the other preachers by name and telling you all their hang-ups and sins and everything. Now, from time to time, that is necessary. The Apostle Paul did it. Jesus did it. But you got to be real careful with that. It's just really funny. Not ha-ha funny. But I've seen through the years, one of the biggest, right after I became a Christian, I saw this. And it might even happen right before I became a Christian and I learned about it. I can't remember the dates. But how many of you remember when Jimmy Swaggart went after Jimmy Baker? And week after week, Jimmy Swaggart was after Jimmy Baker. Every week he was. And then suddenly, Jimmy Swaggart was caught doing exactly what he was accusing Jimmy Baker of doing. You see how that works? Jimmy should have gone to Jimmy and not aired it out on international TV. And, you know, Jimmy Swaggart at that time had a massive ministry and blew it. But that's what self-righteousness leads to. Because even if I know a preacher is committing a sin of some sort, I've told people this, Brian Houston down in Hillsong. Some of you may not even know who that is, but Hillsong is an international ministry. It's a mega ministry, and I don't endorse it. I don't like a lot about it. But the pastor, Brian Houston, had to step down from the boards. He's still going to pastor and preach on a certain level. But he had to step down because he's accused of knowing that his own father had abused a little boy back in the 70s. Now, listen. If that's true, why are we not just now talking about it? I mean, I am in my 50s. I was a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 7, 6-year-old little boy when this happened. Does anybody ever give the thought that maybe this is probably a sodomite or somebody who's just trying to take this church down because they still do preach against gay marriage and they still do call homosexuality a sin? Now, if it turns out to be true and the law does its thing, then that's fine. But you and I better be very careful jumping on that stuff. People go on social media and posting it and making all these accusations and they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And then what is funny is some of the loudest people in those situations a lot of times are exposed. Yep. It's like they're compensating because their conscience. Yeah. You'll see it if you think about it. You've seen this probably throughout your life. Number four, attempting salvation by law is to fall from grace and be lost. How many of you ever heard it said that someone was saved, but then they fell from grace, now they're not saved? It's a total abuse of the phrase. The phrase fallen from grace has nothing to do with being saved and losing it. Being fallen from, well, let's let Jill, is that your text? Let's let Jill read it to us. Galatians 5, 3 and 4.
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace.
What being falling from grace means that you tried to earn salvation through the law. And if you try to earn your salvation through the law, you're fallen from grace, because you can't be saved by grace by keeping the law.
That's right. Mutually exclusive.
Absolutely. And so you hear these people who preach they're Arminian and they believe that you can lose your salvation. And then they'll say, he fell from grace. Well, the only time that phrase shows up in the Bible doesn't have anything to do with a saved man losing his salvation. It's about an unsaved man trying to be saved by keeping the law. That's what it means to fall from grace. Number five, the law humbles us to show us our need and not to proudly judge others. You see the purpose of the law here in Galatians 3, 23 and 24. Johnny, are you there?
Yep. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
See, the law simply shows you, you can't do it. You're hopeless. If you think you're going to be a good guy and get to heaven by your good works, the law says, not going to happen. The law humbles us so that we recognize our need for Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. You can't do it. He's already done it. And then for someone to then take the law and somehow turn it around where they think that they're fit to be the judge of everyone. You know, there's one person on the judgment seat.
Amen.
His name is not mine or yours.
Amen.
I've heard preachers say it's above our pay grade. It's not even in our job description. There's nothing, you know, nothing. We have nothing to do with judging when it comes to other people's sin. That's God's. What do? We see someone living in sin. We're not judging them. We see that they're doing it, and we go up and confront them lovingly with the need to quit out of love. Yeah. And we show them the word. We don't just show them our opinions. You know, somebody might walk in here and get on Mark because he's got shorts on. And then somebody get on Jenny because she's got slacks on. And then get on, let me see, who? I guess I'm the only one that can get on for facial hair. You know, there are people who believe those are sins. They didn't get it from the Bible, but they believe they're sins. There are churches who believe a woman cuts her hair, even if it's still kind of long. If you cut your hair, it's a sin. All these man-made, that's not, but that's the attitude, because you'll find most of those people, they have some idea that their works are having something to do with saving them. Number six, the law shows us that justification cannot come by the law. Janie, Galatians 2:16.
Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Can it be any more plain? But folks, I'm here to tell you, the mass majority of Christian denominations today teach that keeping the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount and doing this and doing that saves you. And of course, all false religions and cults teach that. But the Bible is very clear. And that brings us to the last one. The law shows us that salvation is by grace through faith. Mary, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That is so contrary to the flesh. It's contrary to the opinions of man. It's contrary to the desire for power, the desire of pride. That's why it says no man should boast, because that's the desire of men. They love to be able to boast. And we've watched it on TV here recently where they talk about, you know, they're going to get to heaven and, you know, will and deal with God and make their way in. And, you know, And if that were to happen, then they'd get in there and say, yeah, look at y'all. I got in here. I did this. I did that. What'd you do? What'd you do? God, I do. I do. You know, that's what it'd be like. There's nobody going to boast in heaven. The only thing we will boast in is Christ. Sing about it and praise Him for it. The law leads us to repentance and humility, not pride and self-righteousness. And I've talked about it, we're getting ready to close it up. But this, I've given you some extremes, but you know, we all have to be careful, and I include myself in this. Sometimes it starts to creep in a little bit. Sometimes I'll look at somebody and I'll hear somebody and, you know, I'll have this, it's just like, feel this. There's a song, I don't know if you ever heard it, it says, I'm just a recovering Pharisee. You ever heard that?